The infinite debt problem. How to replace perpetual growth with productive prosperity. Written by Ilya Kalin, narrated by Cole. Introduction: the chart that changed everything. In the spring of 2021, I found myself staring at two lines on a graph. The first showed global obligations, government, corporate, and household, rising from roughly $50 trillion in 1980 to more than $300 trillion today. It traced an almost perfect exponential curve. The second showed global resource extraction, the fossil fuels, minerals, biomass, and materials we pull from the planet each year. That line had also risen, but was beginning to flatten. In some categories, oil per capita, arable land per person, freshwater availability, it had already begun to decline. Two lines. Two opposing stories. The first said, the future will be larger than the present. The second said, the planet is not getting any bigger. The gap between those stories is the subject of this book. It is the infinite debt problem, and closing that gap may be one of the defining challenges of the 21st century. The contradiction at the heart of modern finance. Here is the contradiction in one sentence. We have built a financial system that makes promises about an unlimited future on a planet with limits. This is not a moral or political argument. It is mathematical and physical, and it applies regardless of ideology, nationality, or optimism. Consider a $100 loan at 5% annual interest. After 30 years, it becomes $432. After 50 years, $1,147. After a century, more than $13,000. Compound interest does not rise gently, it follows an accelerating curve. The physical world works differently. Every economic activity requires energy and materials, and every transformation generates waste. Earth is finite, not because environmentalists say so, but because physics says so. There is no law of compound expansion in nature. There is conservation of mass and energy, and an inexorable increase in entropy. For two centuries, we were able to obscure this contradiction. We discovered fossil fuels, ancient sunlight stored in the Earth over hundreds of millions of years, and burned them at an accelerating rate. We opened new lands, found new resources, developed new technologies, and expanded the labor force. Tomorrow was almost always larger than today. But that era is ending. The unstated assumption. Modern finance contains a powerful assumption that is rarely examined. A government bond lends money today in exchange for a return tomorrow. A pension fund invests in assets whose valuations depend, at least partly, on future expansion. A mortgage is easier to service when income and property values rise. The assumption is so deeply embedded that we treat it almost like gravity, permanent, natural, unavoidable. It is none of those things. It is a convention, developed under particular historical conditions. And conventions can be redesigned. What this book is not. This is not a book about the end of capitalism, the collapse of civilization, or the superiority of one political ideology. I am not arguing that markets are evil, that debt must default, or that a dystopian future is inevitable. The argument is narrower. One feature of modern finance, the assumption of perpetual growth embedded in fixed-rate sovereign debt, is becoming increasingly problematic. The answer is not to abolish capitalism. It is to redesign one of its core instruments. The productivity bond is neither left-wing nor right-wing. It is a market-based instrument that uses prices to align incentives. It rewards efficiency, innovation, and productivity, distributes gains broadly, and operates through market mechanisms. The problem is the infinite debt problem. The proposed solution is the productivity bond. What this book is. This book is an invitation to understand how we got here, examine the mathematics and mechanics of the system, and consider a different way to finance the future. The proposal is simple. Instead of issuing bonds with fixed interest payments that accumulate regardless of economic performance, governments could issue bonds whose returns are linked to measurable improvements in efficiency. A conventional government bond might promise 4% a year, regardless of what happens to the economy. When the economy expands, that payment may be manageable. When it stagnates, the burden becomes heavier. When it contracts, the pressure can become severe. A productivity bond changes that relationship. Its return varies with measured efficiency gains. If productivity rises, the bond pays more. If productivity stagnates, it pays less. If productivity falls, it pays nothing in real terms. The financial burden, therefore, moves with productive performance, rather than being imposed independently of it. The concept builds on existing instruments. Inflation-linked bonds have adjusted payments according to inflation for decades. GDP-linked bonds have been proposed and, in some cases, issued. The productivity bond adds another variable, productivity. That distinction matters. GDP can rise because we extract more resources, burn more fuel, increase population, or work longer hours. The economy becomes larger, but not necessarily better. Productivity measures something different, how much value we create from the inputs we already have. That is why productivity matters. An economy can become more prosperous by becoming more efficient, innovative, and capable, not simply by consuming more. What the simulation shows. This is not an abstract proposal. It has been modeled, stress-tested, and simulated. The model generates 10,000 possible futures for a representative economy over 10 years. It incorporates GDP growth, productivity growth, inflation, employment, government revenue, spending, debt accumulation, recessions, booms, and AI-driven productivity shocks with varying effects on employment and revenue. The results are significant. Under realistic simulations that account for feedback between coupon payments and debt accumulation, the productivity bond reduces expected financing costs by approximately 3.1% compared with conventional debt. That result is robust across a range of calibrations. Its effect on fiscal distress is more complicated. Higher payments during strong years can accelerate debt accumulation and counterintuitively increase distress probability. To address this, the model proposes a simple principal adjustment mechanism. A hybrid bond that combines productivity and revenue growth performs better. 11.8% lower cost, 25.9% lower distress probability, and 13.9% higher welfare. The simulation also identifies a critical variable, the government's ability to capture productivity gains. If the government captures less than 15% of AI-driven productivity gains, the instrument barely outperforms conventional debt. Above 30%, the advantage becomes substantial. That finding points to something larger than bond design. If future productivity gains are concentrated entirely in private hands, the public finances may capture too little of the benefit. A financial system tied to productivity, therefore, creates an incentive to ensure that technological gains are shared more broadly. The structure of this book. The first 12 chapters present the core argument, the problem, the proposed instrument, and the path forward in a tight, fast-moving narrative. Chapters 13 through 22 provide the deeper historical and economic foundations. The appendices contain the mathematical framework, methodology, simulation results, legal design, implementation framework, investor materials, and source code. For this audiobook edition, we have focused on the core narrative presented in the introduction and chapters 1 through 22. The detailed appendices, which contain the mathematical proofs, simulation methodology, legal frameworks, and full prospectus documents, are not included in this audio recording. Listeners who wish to explore this technical material in depth are encouraged to refer to the accompanying PDF version of the book, where all appendices are presented in full. A note on the numbers. This book contains numbers, trillions of dollars, basis points, expected returns, welfare estimates, and simulated probabilities. I have tried to be transparent about their origins. Historical data comes from standard sources including the World Bank, IMF, BIS, and OECD. The simulation methodology is documented in the appendix, And the code is available for anyone who wants to reproduce or challenge the results. The limitations matter. A simulation is not a prediction. It depends on assumptions about AI shocks, government capture of gains, investor behavior, and other uncertain variables. The results should therefore be read as evidence of potential, not a guarantee. But the numbers are not the central argument. The central argument is architecture. Can we design financial instruments that reward productive improvement rather than requiring perpetual expansion? The numbers test whether that architecture can work. The question this book answers. Let me return to the question that began this introduction. How do we create a prosperous, stable civilization without destroying the planet and without relying on infinite debt? My answer is to redesign finance so that it rewards productive improvement rather than requiring ever-increasing output. A productive economy can become richer without becoming infinitely larger. It can create more value from fewer inputs. It can improve well-being without proportionally increasing resource consumption. Our financial system, however, often treats growth itself as the objective. It does not necessarily distinguish between expansion through innovation and expansion through extraction, efficiency and waste, or genuine improvement and environmental degradation. The productivity bond is an attempt to change that incentive. It links financial returns to measurable economic performance, rather than simply to the passage of time and the mathematics of compound interest. It is a mechanism for making promises about the future that reflect what the economy actually achieves. The goal is not an economy that becomes endlessly bigger. It is an economy that becomes continuously better. The infinite debt problem is not an inevitability. It is an invitation to redesign finance for a finite planet. The fully functional simulation used to generate the results in this book, including the figures in Appendix C, is freely available at traffictorch.github.io/productivity-bond-model under the MIT license. The repository contains the complete Python implementation, allowing readers to reproduce, fork, test, and improve the model.